Jewish audio on Kabod.org.
Good morning and welcome. Vayikra, the first chapter in the book of Leviticus. Today, Wednesday's portion, the fourth portion of the week, we begin chapter 3. Up to now, we had an introductory class on the whole idea of sacrifices, the symbolism of sacrifices. And if you're interested in that, you can go back to the very beginning of Sunday's class. It's all archived, and you can hear the introduction to Leviticus. Then we segued into sacrifice type number one, and that was burnt offerings. And we learned about the various types of burnt offerings, and they were many. There were animal burnt offerings. There were fowl burnt offerings. There were flour and oil mixture burnt offerings. And various types within that, five types within that. So that's the individual burnt offering. Now we get to a second category of sacrifices, and that is known as the Korban or Zevach Shlamim. Shlamim comes from the word Shalom. This is the peace offering. I don't know if you're old enough to remember the 60s, but peace, brother. I'm from the 60s. That's the idea of a peace offering. It brings peace, as Rashi will explain. Also, as Rashi will explain, there's a peace in it for everybody. Verse 1, V'im zevach shlamim korbonai, and if his offering is a peace offering, an offering of peace. By the way, I like to say that in our neighborhood, in the Encino Tarzana neighborhood, we are very sympathetic to the whole idea of sacrifices. How do you say sacrifice in Hebrew? Korban, we have a street, Korban. Not every city has a street, Korban, dedicated to sacrifices. All right, I'm kidding. Im min ha-bokar hu makriv. If, I will not quit my day job, I promise. If he brings from cattle, if his peace offering option is a cattle offering. So here we are told what kind of cattle may be brought as a peace offering. Now, earlier in the burnt offering, if you remember, it had to be, chapter 1, verse 10, a male offering. Here in the peace offering department, we have a wider range. Im zachar, im nekeva, whether it's male or female, tomim yakriveno, the main thing is, it should be unblemished. Lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, male, female, the main thing is, it should be unblemished. Like the old Israeli saying, with the woman who was pregnant, expecting a baby, they say, you're going to have a boy or a girl. He says, boy, girl, haikashi e brit. There should be a bris. It makes no difference. Rashi 1, shlomim shematilim sholim bo'elam. Why are they called peace offerings? Because they bring peace to the world. It's a peace offering. What is the idea of a peace offering? It's not burnt on the altar. The person who brings the peace offering gets to take meat home, or if he's living not in Jerusalem, to his hotel, and he invites his friends and family, and they have a meal in his room. And then the building and safety people come. But that is the idea of a celebration, a family celebration. The Kohen gets to take meat home, and the Kohen says to Mrs. Cohen and to the kids, guess what? We got meat today. Some meat is burnt on the altar, so there's something for everyone, not to mention the fact that it contributes significantly to the economy of Jerusalem and of Israel. It's just a wonderful thing when someone brings a peace offering. A burnt offering, he buys the offering, he smokes it on the altar, or the Kohen smokes it on the altar. It doesn't really go that far in bringing benefit to all. That's what Rashi is saying. They bring peace to the world. It brings peace to the altar because the altar gets some. And to the Kohen and their family. And to the donor owners. Everyone gets to smile. Something in it for everyone. Now, why would someone bring a shlomim? Someone would bring a burnt offering, an ola, we learned earlier, and if he violated a positive commandment, a sin of omission, if he feels incomplete, someone would bring a shlomim simply because he's having a good day, because the Fed kept interest rates down. Whatever is going on that's good in his life, he says, I'm going to bring a shlomim. I'm going to say, thank you, Hashem. But it's not, there is within the shlomim, there's a specific thank you offering. That's a todah, which comes for near escapes of special things. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about in general, I'm having a good day. Or a good week, or month, or year, or halavai, a good decade. Verse 3, v'hikriv mizevach hashlomim, he shall offer of this. Verse 2, I try to skip verses and they don't let me here. Tough crowd. V'samach yodei aresh korbonai, this is very important in the laws of offerings, that he has to lay his hand on the head of the offering. Because remember, the offering is only symbolic. The person has to offer his own animal soul. And again, we talked about this on Sunday with the interpretation of the Alter Rebbe, Adam Ki Akriv. So the placing, the laying, the gentle laying of the hands is another representation of the fact that it is in place of the donor. Now, when I say gentle, sometimes it's not. In a major animal, it has to be, all the weight has to lean on the animal. And then it is slaughtered, Pesach HaYom Meir, at the door of the meeting. Now then, after it's offered, after it's slaughtered, now the Kohanim have to take over. Technically, a non-Kohen could also slaughter it. One does not technically have to be a Kohen to be the ritual slaughterer, the Shochet. But once you get to the sprinkling of the blood, which is the ritual, and again, we talked about this extensively on Sunday, now the sons of Aharon, the Kohanim, must sprinkle the blood around the altar, round about, and just very, very briefly, we talked about the sprinkling of the blood. Blood is the passion that we have to take, the passion of the human being, and make sure it's in line with what God wants. We shouldn't have any alien passions, God forbid. Verse 3, v'hikriv mizevach hashlomim, he then brings near, he presents, of this peace offering, isha, a fire offering l'Hashem. Remember we learned that the word isha comes from esh, fire. Es hachelev, and here he goes through the list. This list, in some variables, is repeated again and again and again, so let's learn the list. Es hachelev, the fat, hamachasa es hakerev, that covers the inwards. That is offered. V'yes kol achelev asher al akerev, and all the fat that is on the inwards. And there is a lot of fat within a cow today, within meat today, that is prohibited for a Jew to eat, because this is the fat that they would offer on the altar. There is other fat that's only prohibited because it induces cholesterol. But it's kosher. But there are certain fats of the animal that are treif, they're not kosher. Those are specifically the parts, I believe, that were offered on the altar. Rashi, ve'es kol ha'chelev, lo'avi chelev sha'akeva, to add the fat that was on the stomach, divi Rabbi Shmuel, that's one interpretation of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva omer lo'avi chelev sha'adakin, the fat on the small intestines. In addition to that, so far we learned about the fat in verse 3. Verse 4, ve'eshte ha'kloyas, the two kidneys are also placed on the altar, ve'es ha'chelev asher aleim, and their fat. Asher Akson, which are by the loins. Ves hayeseres al hakovet. In addition to that, the lobe of the liver, as Rashi almost always says, with some of the liver. Al hakloyis yisideno, near the kidneys, he removes it. Aksolim Rashi, flanks in Old French. Maybe that's flanken, I don't know. I'm not much of a butcher. Sha'achelev shal hakloyis kishabahem machaya, the fat which were on the kidneys when the animal was alive, who begave aksolim, it's the height of the loins, ve'imamata, and they are below, v'za'achelev shtachas amasnaim, shekeirin, which is called lumbri, loven anir lamayel, the white seen above, begave aksolim at the height of the loins, v'za'achtise abasar chefeo, the lower part of their flesh they cover it, ha'yeseres, hu deifen amosach, it's the diaphragm, shekeirin, which is called abri, v'lashnarami, chatzra,
The chavda, the lobe of the liver. Ala kovet. Here Rashi says, sheyito min hakovet imamati. He has to take poquito, a little of the liver. In addition, he takes this as well. What do they do with it? Five. The sons of Aaron cause it to smoke. Hamizbech on the altar. What was already on the altar? There was already the burnt offering on the altar, because burnt offerings always come first. Aloel on top of whatever burnt offering is still there. Where is the burnt offering sitting? On the wood. Asher alo eitzim, on the wood. What's the wood sitting on? On the flame. Asher alo eish. Ishe, all of this is a fire offering. Reach nichayach l'Hashem, a sweet savor to Hashem. As we learned earlier in Rashi, why does Hashem enjoy this? He commands and we do. He enjoys the discipline. Al ho'elo, says Rashi, milvad ho'elo, on top of the burnt offering in addition, limdono, this teaches us, shetak demelis tomid l'chol korban, ala marocha. As we mentioned earlier, and I'll say it again, the opening sacrifice every day was the communal burnt offering, called the olas tomid. That was in the morning. No sacrifice came before the olas tomid. The closing sacrifice at the end of the day was the olas tomid of the afternoon, the burnt offering for the communal burnt offering, the community offering of the afternoon. In between the morning and afternoon offering, they brought all other sacrifices. What happened once the sun sets? Once the sun sets, you don't bring any more sacrifices. What do? Do they go home? No. That's when the Kohanim go to work. And they make sure to smoke on the altar everything that has to be smoked. There's a big line of stuff sitting on the sidelines, and they have to keep piling it and piling it to commemorate the morning burnt offering. We today do the morning services, the shacharis. To commemorate the afternoon burnt offering, we today do the afternoon service, the mincha. To commemorate the burning on the altar, which had to be preferably completed by midnight, and if not, before the dawn's early light, we have the ma'ariv service, the evening service. That is a commemoration of the various tfilos services we have today. By the way, if I can pause for a moment and just share what I have shared with my regulars earlier, and that is we sit and study, but, you know, some of us know the ins and outs of a cow or an animal and what's here and what's there. Some of us know the biological components of a cow. Many of us who don't only know a cow from the freezer. You know, you open up and you take out a steak. So when I was studying to be a rabbi in Montreal, where I went to school, in the Rabbinical College of Canada, and I spent the last year and a half of my studies studying the actual stuff you need to be tested on to be ordained, included in that are the laws of what makes an animal kosher and what makes an animal treif. As far as I'm concerned, what makes an animal kosher is if it has a kosher certification on it. But that's not what we learned in school. They gave us all the fine details, and you could sit and learn and learn and learn. You know, there's an old expression, we talk in halacha about dora de una, a certain row which can be identified within the animal. You can sit and study for 20 years and not know what the dora de una is in the animal. You only know it on the page. So they took us on a field trip. They took us to a slaughterhouse, a kosher slaughterhouse. And we went with the local shochtim, and we had this wonderful experience, and we went station by station, and we saw every detail of what went on. We saw the slaughtering itself, the shechita, and then we saw how every animal is cut up, every part of the animal is numbered, and then they have to inspect the lungs, inspect the rest of the animal. If, God forbid, they find a problem on the lungs or any other part of the animal which will show that it's diseased or it's problematic, they know that number 27 is not kosher. So they have to sell it for treif. Anyway, so we're walking around. Remember, this is 1970. We're walking around this slaughterhouse in Montreal, and everybody's speaking French, and you know, they speak very quickly, and we don't understand too much. And here we are speaking Yiddish, you know, or English or whatever it is. All of a sudden, we're walking down, and there's a chain with animals going around. It's unbelievable. All of a sudden, we hear a sound. It's a human alarm. It goes woo, and everybody starts doing woo. All of a sudden, I don't know what it is. All of a sudden, somebody grabs me and pulls me up on top. And he grabbed everybody else and pulled them up on top. A second later, we saw a bull running by. And that's the human alarm when a bull gets loose. So I still have nightmares about that. And that's the last time I've been to a slaughterhouse. Okay. I prefer the meat section. You know, and the meat department is mine. You know that one. Okay. Verse 6. V'im minatzein karbonai. That is if he prefers to bring his peace offering from cattle. What if his choice is from the sheep, the flock, which is sheep, a goat? Lezevach shlomim l'Hashem for his peace offering. Zochrei nekeva tomim yakrevenu. Here we have a very similar set of laws. We'll go quickly because it's a mirror image of the earlier law. Male or female, he can bring it. Im kesev hu makriv es karbonai. If it's a lamb, v'yikreves lifnei Hashem, he brings it to Hashem. Rashi, why is this stated separately when it's so similar? Fishiesh be'moriah kesev, mashem be'moriah eis. Because the lamb is different than the goat. Why is the lamb different than the goat? Sha'kesev al yosikrei, because a lamb has a fatty tail which is offered on the altar. That's the difference. Lakach nechkush de parshis, that's why it's divided into two. Lamb, goat. V'somach es yodei aresh karbonai, he lays his hands on the head of the offering. V'shachateis and slaughters it lefnei el meyed. V'zorku b'nei Aaron es domei al mizbeach soviv, and Aaron's sons will dash it on the altar roundabout. We learned yesterday or the day before what roundabout means, that he does it in two corners. He does it in this corner, which in this room, I'm just doing with this room, would be the south, west corner, south east corner. And here would be the northwest corner. So if you go like that, you have two sides here and two sides here. That's how you do it roundabout. It's called Shtei Matonos Shehen Arba, which is the two applications which come out to four, which is the usual process. Rashi 8, Vizorku Shtei Matonos Shehen Arba, two applications which are four. Now here, it's not done the way I showed it. I showed it with the finger. That is only with the sin offering. With this offering, it's with a vessel. It sprinkles with a basin or whatever. 9, and he offers of this peace offering a sacrifice to Hashem, chel by the fat. And here is the addition, al yitmima, the entire tail, by the rump bone, you see that, and he removes it. And then we have the regular list. The fat that covers the inward. And all the fat which are the inward. And two kidneys and its fat. By the loins. The lobe of the liver with the kidneys. And the Kohen shall smoke it upon the altar. A food offering. A fire offering to Hashem. Rashi. Lechem ishel Hashem. Lachmi shel esh. It's the food of the flame. L'shem gavoa, for the sake of Hashem. Lechem loshen macha, lechem means food. V'chein hashchitza eis b'lachme, avad l'chem rov. Lischek eisim lechem. So lechem does not necessarily mean bread, but it means any type of food. Symbolically, this is the food of the flame. And we learned again earlier, it gives nachas to Hashem when he commands and you do his commandment. Again, I refer you to the introduction on Sunday. 12, v'im eis karbonai. The next is, if it's a goat. So we started with cattle. And now within the smaller animal department, he went to sheep and talked about the fatty tail. Now he talks about the goat. And let him offer it before Hashem. He should lay his hands on his head. Before the tent of meeting. And the sons of Aaron shall dash its blood round about the altar, as we learned earlier. And he shall present its offering, a fire offering to Hashem. Same list. Virtually identical to the earlier list. And the Kohen shall cause it to smoke on the altar as food for the fire, giving nachas to Hashem. And here we have famous words, kol chelev l'Hashem, all of the fat goes to Hashem. This is a famous verse because it is interpreted broadly. Kol chelev l'Hashem. When we give something to God, we have to give of the best. And my father, of blessed memory, was very passionate about this. He would say often that it's very difficult, if not impossible, to raise a generation of charity givers if the charity the children see you giving are the old clothes from the attic. Then the lesson you give to your children is whatever you need to throw away, give it to the charity. The charity is a big garbage pail. Not that there's anything wrong with giving old clothes away to a charity, but the children have to see checks being written to. The children have to see money being deposited in the charity box. It's not, good morning, it's not enough for children to grow up and to know that the garbage is given to charity. Furthermore, he would say the same is for education. When parents make a big deal of education, and they say, my kid went to this elementary school, azoints and azoints, and he went to this high school, they only let very smart kids in there. My kid is a genius, and this college, no one can even get in there unless they're geniuses. And when he talk about Hebrew studies, then what do you expect the child to grow up with as far as his priorities is concerned? So the child has to grow up and know, kol chelev l'Hashem, the best has to go to Hashem, which is why the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok Schneerson, he campaigned vigorously that in day schools, whenever possible, and he felt it was always possible, it's just a matter of money, they should do the Hebrew education in the morning. Kol chelev l'Hashem. The freshest hours of a kid are in the morning, unless it's a kid who doesn't wake up till noon. So then he's sleeping through the morning classes. 17. Chukas Eilam L'Dede Seichem, an eternal statute throughout all your generations, Bechel Meshve Seichem, in all of your dwellings, Kol Chele V'Chol Dom L'Seichelu. This is a rule. Any fat, any blood may not be eaten. And this is a very important rule. The fat that we talked about above is not kosher for general consumption. Blood may not, good morning, may not be consumed by a Jew. Blood is not kosher. That's why we have the process of removal of the blood. We soak the meat, we salt the meat, we rinse the meat. Blood is not kosher. Rashi, Chukas Eilam, Yofe, Mefedesh, Betetas, Kainim, Kol HaPosek HaZeh. This verse is explained and interpreted beautifully in Torah's Kohanim. The commentaries of Rashi bring down that what Rashi is teaching us is, why does this statement come here suddenly? Because we're talking about fat. Because we're talking about blood. Lest one think that blood and fat only may not be eaten by an individual. In Jerusalem, lest one think that blood and fat may only not be eaten by an individual. During the time the Holy Temple stood, Rashi comes and tells us from Torah's Kohanim, anywhere a Jew is, the fat that was offered on the altar is not kosher, that kind of fat in the animal. Blood is not kosher, and in all times and in all places, that's the lesson of Torah's Kohanim.